Thank you for joining us tonight or this morning, wherever you are. You're listening to Coast AM. My name is Connie Willis, and that's Electric Avenue. I better not sing. That's why I talk. Otherwise, I'd be singing, right? I remember somebody telling me at one point that Elton John had said he wished he was a better talker. And he had noticed that people in radio, because he worked with radio people all the time, would always say they wish he would sing, and he said he wished he could talk better. And apparently that was kind of a universal thing. I had no idea, but it's true. I can vouch for it. If I could have sung, I'd been doing that. Anyway, Eddie Grant there for you. I hope you're enjoying the music as well and the conversation. I wanted to remind you to check out coasttocoastam.com and check out the five eerie images of mystery people. We always have some great things on our website, and just always interesting stuff. I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. More to come. We're going to be taking your phone calls at the last hour of our show tonight, but we still got more conversation with Tom Powell. TomSquatch.com. You can find out more about him, making it safe for you to tell your stories on Coast to Coast AM. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, we are Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Connie Willis. We're talking with 8th grade teacher Tom Powell. I never had a cool 8th grade teacher like that at all. Not like you at all, Tom. I really like it. And when we did science, it was just not all that exciting. So I would have loved you as a teacher. And a little teacher for us now. What? Tell me about the silver curtain. Is that right? Is it the silver curtain?
The quicksilver curtain.
Okay, tell me about that.
I think that it basically describes what is also known as the portal phenomenon, the idea that there are times and places when all of a sudden these portals, if you will, open up, and they end up being some sort of shortcut to somewhere else. Magnetic ley lines that intersect throughout the Earth are thought to be one way of understanding what these things represent, but of course in physics they would be best described as Einstein-Rosen bridges or wormholes or maybe even the same thing that we think of as black holes out in the far reaches of space. But it does seem that these things open up and you can travel through them and end up somewhere else, or other things use them to put themselves here. It may explain a lot of what is going on with these people who disappear. Dave Politis, who's written a few books on the whole missing person phenomena, speculates that it may have something to do with this portal phenomenon. So of all the paranormal matters that I've investigated, this is one that I tell people, you know, do not interact with it. We don't know what's going on, but it is, if you ever happen to be in a place where you see this shimmering curtain of light, do not mess with it. Run the other way. Not everything in the paranormal realm is harmless.
Yeah, interesting that you say that, because there was a story of some Bigfooters that I know. I always say Bigfooters. That's my way of talking about it. Oh my gosh, I guess that's not politically correct. I better watch that. But this was an interesting story that I was told. Five people were out on a field, and only two of them actually got mind speak, and they saw a portal. And they saw the silhouette of Bigfoots, a few of them, several of them. And not only did they see this, and it was there, and only two of the five, if I got the story correct, they heard them also talking to them. And one of the things that they said to them was, you're welcome to join us, to come here, to go in with them, to step in the portal, whatever it is that you do to get into one or whatever you do. But not only did they say, okay, you're invited, you can come do this, they also said, but you'll never come back if you do it. And it wasn't even in a mean way. It was just like, if you do, we're going to invite you because I know you're curious, but you'll never come back. And that's just like, you know, the missing person thing. If you go through it, it kind of validates what you said, right? I mean, and I think you have a story of somebody putting their hand in kind of thing.
Yeah, there's Pilates has shared with me several things that don't always work well in his books, but people who talk about actually putting their hand into this shimmering curtain and seeing it disappear, or I even found one fellow named Larry Kelm who felt he stumbled into one of these things and was immediately terrified and realized that he better backtrack fast, and he did this, and he even saw this hairy hand reach for him, and he thought it was all very ominous. Now, when I took this to some Native American folk and people with, you know, other sensitivities, they said, he wasn't in as much danger as he may have felt. They even went so far as to say that one of the roles that the Sasquatch play here on Earth is to guard the portals and keep stupid white people from stumbling into them by accident.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow, I don't know. We need someone. I'll tell you what, we'll walk out together.
I like the thought. I mean, I think it's merciful.
Yeah, that is a nice thought.
Yeah.
but I don't know. That guy actually felt the feeling, so I bet he was terrified.
Yeah. Well, certainly when you're messing around with paranormality, you have to sort of look out for yourself. And one thing that seems to surface again and again is that they're not all nice, and that some potentially not good things could happen to you.
Do you think... I want to say a whole bunch of stuff here, but I'll wait till, as you say it, to see if it even comes up. But do you believe that the reason that they can come and go and communicate as they do, you actually believe they live underground, like there's cities and homes? Or I mean, how?
What's the visual there? The Sasquatch phenomena and some of the other paranormal entities like the extraterrestrials probably intersect, and the most logical place to have that intersection would be in subterranean hiding places. Now, I understand the Earth is molten as you get closer to the center, so, you know, the idea that the planet is hollow doesn't square with my understanding of geology, but I also understand that you can have hollow mountains and caverns that are not necessarily any closer to the hot center of the Earth than we are standing here on sea level surface. So I do think that there is something to the idea that there are subterranean hideouts. And maybe that's another way of discussing or understanding the idea of dimensionality. You know, a lot of people say, oh, the Sasquatch are interdimensional beings, or the extraterrestrials are interdimensional. But it may be that these portals really represent just a way to get from one place to the other. They may be just as much of three-dimensional creatures as we are, but they have this way of traveling that, you know, ends up being this portal or dimensionality thing. But maybe subterranean is in fact another dimension. I mean, when you think about it, it's just another layer of existence that occurs beneath us. So when I first heard that idea, it seemed preposterous, but the more I investigated it, the more I found that once again the ET people and the Sasquatch people and some of the other paranormal researchers continue to keep coming up against this idea that it emanates from subterranean hiding places, redoubts is the word, you know, enclaves where these phenomena do in fact intersect.
If you're just joining us, this is Coast to Coast AM, and the voice you are hearing is Tom Powell. We're talking about Sasquatch. Tom, okay, so,
can you prove that there's underground hideouts? And I think, well, proof is, again, a difficult concept, but there is evidence. And one of the lines of evidence that is completely overlooked, but I think very, very relevant, is this mound phenomenon as it occurs continent-wide. And the first mounds to be studied scientifically were in Mima, Washington, and so they describe them now as Mima mounds, even though they're found all over the continent. And there's mound fields in Ohio, and there's mound fields in Minnesota and California and Oklahoma. And what I found is that everywhere where the mound phenomenon manifests itself, you also get concentrations of Sasquatch sightings. And that's when I started to realize this cannot be a coincidence. There's a clue here for our consideration.
Well, did you cut into them, dig into them to find out what is making them protrude?
Well, others have. I mean, if you, you know, and in many cases, these mounds are sort of protected things on the landscape, and you dare not go defile them.
Oh, of course. And, okay. There's a clue.
They're even thought to be burial mounds. That many people say, well, the mounds are created by Indians. And it's not at all clear that the Indians built the mounds, but maybe they used the mounds for burial, although the mounds were actually a pre-existing phenomenon. So it's not even clear when they find bones in the mounds that necessarily requires that Native Americans built them long ago. But the ones that have bones in them are called anthropic mounds, you know, anthropology, you know, human related. But the ones out here are not. And they do seem to be different material than the ground that they sit on. That all of the favored geologic explanations really don't work, that they're earthquake or glacial or burrowing rodents and so on and so forth. So there's, I think, a very great mystery here. And there have been some writers in the past. Jim Brandon is one who talked about the mounds as indications that something is going on here on Earth that we really don't have a complete handle on.
One of the times that I had gone out to Dulce, people had told me about the talking well, and myself and someone else, we were trying to find this talking well. And if you asked any of the locals, they would kind of point to where it would be, and you know, they say you got to hike for a while, and you know, when you go out on your own, you're totally lost. So they may be, you know, maybe pulling their own prank of which way they're giving us the direction. But the people that would tell us about it and actually said they were around it and heard it, you know, they were there to experience it, they had said it sounded like it was kind of like a hole, and you could hear what sounded like another city or something happening below. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yep.
And by the way, there's a ton of Bigfoot you know, sightings there, as well as all sorts of things at Dulce.
Yeah, and these kinds of accounts, I mean, after all, stories, you know, so not exactly scientific evidence, but a whole bunch of this stuff exists in Native American lore. Most Native American tribes, their creation myth has to do with emerging from within the earth. And so the scientists who study the mound phenomenon, I think in some cases, give us really useful clues. There, one set of mounds out here in the Pacific Northwest was determined to have been created between 14,000 and 7,500 years ago, but the period of time where that they were built is sort of post-ice age, and a very definite time when these mounds were being built, and now they're not anymore. So it suggests that there was a time when excavations were going on, and now these installations are pretty well established, and maybe they're being added to and so forth. But you know, the New Agers around Shasta and Adams say, yeah, no kidding, we've known that for years. Of course, there are subterranean realms that are being inhabited, and so it's fascinating stuff. We're still years and years away from really getting a handle on it, but I really do think that there is the key to the understanding of the whole paranormal realm is, in fact, right under our noses, and we just have to maybe scientifically investigate these possibilities a little more.
Oh, I agree. What do you think about the when people hear all these noises and hums and nobody can figure out where the noises are? Do you think that's from down below?
Yep. I mean, what they describe is it sounds like a generator running. Well, maybe they got generators. but the Taos hum, and they've investigated that too, and assumed that it was ground wave communication from naval installations and so forth, but it doesn't square. It's something else. So this is where I think all the paranormal phenomena begin to intersect. And even the crop circle thing, I think, is another possible overlap of these other phenomena. And it all seems to point, I think, in one basic direction, and that is that Sasquatch and the ETs know each other.
Yes.
And they interact, and their place where it all intersects is subterranean.
I think that one of my little theories, don't know yet, but just something I have in my head, is I think that the Bigfoot are like a like a Wookiee, and I think they protect what the ET are doing. I don't know what they're doing, but I kind of think, this is just my thought, but I think, like, if you go deep into the woods, the Bigfoot's going to keep you from getting too close to whatever's going on behind them, and behind them could be mining for something like gold. And this is one of the things I really want to get into, is I think some of the gold mines and any of the other mines out there where people, don't go in there. But when they go into these old mines and they have these paranormal experiences, I think it's these things could be a part of that. And I think the crazy thing too is there's a lot of people that say when they go into these mines, there's always some weird wall that's like, closed out and you can't get in there. And it was specifically put together. And some people have crashed through some of those walls, and they say there's a big air vent, a gush of air comes out when it happens, and a very awful smell comes out, which are things you hear with Bigfoot and things you hear about aliens as well, how they smell. And so it just seems as though maybe it's closed off and that's where they are, and maybe they're mining for precious metals that we have here. I don't know, but I think it sounds kind of pretty good there.
Well, it's all sort of coalescing for the first time, at least the first time in our consciousness, and that's what I think is so interesting about what's going on right now, and that's why I said at the beginning that we're in this sort of golden age of paranormal research, when all of these ideas are starting to surface, and people are taking them on for the first time courageously, I might add, and I'm just thrilled to be alive and be witness to sort of this assembly of various paranormal phenomena for the first time, at least since ancient history. When you look at the Bible, it actually seems to chorus in on a lot of the same things we're talking about.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I love when I talk to one of my friends, Bishop James Long, when he brings in the Bible part of it and the perspective from that, of all the different paranormal events that happen inside the Bible, and there's a ton of that. I've got so many different questions for you, and I know next hour we're going to be taking phone calls from people. But I sometimes just want to be selfish and keep you that next hour too. But I won't do that to anybody, because Tom is very interesting to talk to, very fun. He's not going to shut you out. He's going to listen, and he'll probably have a story to relate with it too. So we're talking with Tom Powell, TomSquatch.com. And you're listening to myself, Connie Willis, on Coast to Coast AM. It's another very interesting show on Coast to Coast AM, the real theater of the mind. And first-time guest Tom Powell is with us. We're talking about Sasquatch. Tom, one of my dreams is to get a phone call from someone that says, hey, you know, I know that you're into this. This is really cool. I want to give you all this money, and I want you to go to this one area and hang out for a while, or any other areas, and I'm going to give you the best equipment and everything you need. Just let me know and give me the answers to what's going on with this big hairy man. You know, I just want to do that.
Well, I don't think you need a lot of money. I think you can pretty much go and almost pick a spot. And I think the things that, you know, people always want to know, well, what can I do to bring the phenomenon to the fore? And I tell them, well, first of all, go to the same place over and over again. Try not doing the technology and not using all the cameras and sensors and everything, but rather just sort of put yourself out there as this open spirit and a sort of a person who with a live and let live attitude, and just let the phenomenon find you. But as we said before, you know, pick the place up, be a good little responsible outdoor steward, write everything down that you're experiencing, and just try to be a non-threatening presence on the landscape. And I really think that's about as good as you can do.
Well, you know, because I've been out there and I know they exist, and I know it's still terrifying. To me, it's not like, oh, peaceful, there they are right in front of me. Ah, it's not. It's still rough. I would want a, like, I got to have a wall between me and it. I got to have, if I'm sleeping overnight, it's got to be a wall between me and it. It can't be a tent. It's just, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Don't like spiders on the ground. There's lots of them. For whatever reason, there's more spiders than people really think on the ground.
Well, you're like yikes. Most folks, you know. It's a little bit disconcerting to put yourself out there. And that's why I'm always impressed that some do it fearlessly, women and men, and they do get some really interesting results.
Yeah, I just want a little motorhome or a little, you know, just something, you know, in between, because I'd rather them knock instead of just, like, you know, flick the tent screen in between. That's freaky when people say that they're laying there and then there's one standing up above them. I believe them, but whoa.
And typically they'll describe that the hand compressed the edge of the tent and knew exactly where their head was. So the hand puts its right onto their head through the tent.
That's just,
and of course they're scared stiff.
Yes.
They don't get a wink of sleep for the entire night. and many times they get the heck out of there, but in some cases they're just absolutely too afraid to move. And of course, their spouse or significant other is lying there absolutely asleep, and no matter how hard they shake them, they can't be woken up. And then as soon as the whole phenomenon evaporates, then the person is able to be woken up, and yet here this person is now having to try to explain what just happened, and yet they have nothing to point to corroborate their story.
Interesting. The very first thing that ever happened to me, I was in one of those campers that sits up off the ground, but the tent kind of goes out on both sides where the beds are on both sides. And I was rocked 4 times from down below, different areas, and you didn't hear anything in between the rocks of anything moving, and something deliberately pushed it from different sides. That other person heard nothing. Said I didn't feel anything. That's very interesting that you said that. And I've also heard that those types of campers are always rocked. And when I told somebody about it the next day, they said, yeah, you didn't know that, that those are normally the ones that are rocked. But not only was it rocked, but I got, that was my like first mind speak where it had said, it was like something pointed to me where the zipper was, where I could unzip it and look out. And it was like my face was guided to that, and it said, well, you know, it was like, go ahead, this is what you came for. And I absolutely came back to it with, in a very relaxed way, at least with the conversation. I didn't think, oh, I can talk to you. I went back and said from what that response, what that was said to me, which was, that's what, this is what you came for. I said back,
that was the statement, this is what you came for,
yeah,
here it is, sort of.
Yeah, this is what you came for. And I said back, well, I know that I know now, it's okay. Yeah, yeah, I know, but I was, I
so
know,
had,
I know you're
you've
there.
You've had a number of experiences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never,
well,
never rule out the possibility that you're being in some form singled out, that they,
yeah,
you're definitely on their list.
I am. Everything, if I go anywhere, it comes to me. I don't know what it is, but it's not always the most fun thing. It's cool.
So why don't I interview you? Let's
No, but I'm glad. That's why I'm excited to talk to you, because you do understand these things. You can hear me tell those stories, and you go, aha, and then I've heard this before.
It is true that there are certain people who are being worked again and again, and we don't know why, but I think it's maybe the best possibility is just that you know, you're being used to convey a message, and so the fact that you now have a outlet through your radio presence, that maybe they see that as a contribution to the evolution of humanity.
Oh, wow. I love that. I'll take it.
Yeah,
do you?
All right.
I'll take that. That's pretty. That's deep and big. I like it. You know, there's also people that they don't want to be around at all. They won't talk to them. They won't be around. They won't show themselves. And if you're walking with that person, good luck. Forget it. It's just a waste of your time. So my question is, are you one of those or not?
Boy, I wish I knew. I mean, you know, the fact that I'm always trying to wear my science hat, I think does sort of work at cross purposes to the whole idea of being sort of a live and let live and talk to the forest and so on and so forth. So I guess I do play both sides of the street, and maybe that's counterproductive, but that's why I try not to have it be always about me. You know, I'm a researcher, so I gather information, and I do recognize that other people have sensitivities that I don't. So I empower them rather than go out there expecting or requiring that everything needs to happen to me so that I'm convinced. I think, you know, again, it's kind of important to put the ego on a shelf and just try to go out there and exude some sort of live and let live and one with the surroundings kind of mindset.
I'm glad about that, though, because people like me can tell you that, and then you will listen to it and try to put it all together in
well,
some sort of way.
One of the first things I learned is to shut up and listen to people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, too many people are, oh, come on, that's just this, and oh, that's not scientific. And, you know, you just have to put aside the filters and the biases and let people talk. And then you start to see at least some of the patterns. And the other thing is they're not going to tell you everything they know and have experienced unless you project some degree of non-judgmental, you know, openness. Just tell me everything and don't hold back. And then the really good stuff comes out.
I love it. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you there. Well, you were talking about how, like, one person can hear and see and all these things would happen to them, and the person laying next to them is out.
Right.
That also occurs with ET and abductees.
Yep.
Where, you know, the one person's being taken, the other person could wake up. Let's say your significant other is, you're gone, and the significant other might wake up, maybe not, maybe they're out, but they might wake up, and then they're like, well, where are you? And they'll look all over the place, and you're not there, and 2 hours later, I guess, I don't know, you're there, and then they kind of, even though they were concerned, very concerned that you were gone, they couldn't find you, all of a sudden, they don't care anymore, and everything's fine, and it's over. That's kind of weird, too. That's
well,
in the ET world, and I see that with the Bigfoot.
And other people don't. But then you get into this missing time thing, and
yeah.
that's where once again you start to go, wait a minute, the ET people report the missing time, but sometimes you get the people who are out there doing a Sasquatch investigation, and same thing, they go, what the heck happened? How come I can't account for the last couple hours? So this is another time when you start to realize that there's so much overlap between what seem like separate paranormal phenomena that maybe the smartest thing we can do is look for the commonalities and even investigate the possibility that they're just somehow all related.
Well, even the fact that the other person that was totally freaked out that you were gone, all of a sudden, they don't really care as much anymore. I think there's something to that, too, where they subtly somehow stop your fear or your emotion, and then it's gone, it's over, you don't remember that anymore. What about one of the other things I hear a lot is, and I was surprised, was the Men in Black with the Bigfoots.
Mm-hmm.
That was surprising to me when I first heard that. I had no idea.
Well, I think the ET people sort of have a great deal of experience with that phenomenon, and what they say is it's very important to recognize there's two different things going on. Yeah, there is some kind of government this, that, watching, snooping, and that's fine. It's their job. I get it, and they're intelligence gatherers. But then the phenomenon itself is also watching you, and this is what John Keel discussed in Mothman Prophecies, that there's two different things going on, that the ET phenomenon also manifests itself sometimes kind of clumsily as these men, and you know, the clothing is somehow wrong, and the cars are out of date, but it's not always government or private industry. You're also being watched by the phenomenon itself.
Yeah, that's...
It's really hard to make sense of.
Yeah, I know.
Especially because it's at times so clumsy. But I think it's also gotten more sophisticated with time. And the other thing that the ET people will say is never lose sight of the possibility that you're being fooled, you're being deceived, that
mm-hmm.
that what is being presented for your consideration is not really the whole truth.
True. And clumsy is a good word from a lot of the things I've heard. I want to ask you about, you know, we all know about lights in the sky with UFOs, but what about when there's lights in the woods? I've heard many, many times about soccer ball-sized
mm-hmm.
lights.
Yep, and the fact that you can also photograph them. You know, if you just take random pictures in one of these places where, you know, Sasquatch activity manifests itself, you get these orbs on your film. You know, first and foremost, I do not know for sure, but I do know people who insist, why, well, that's the Sasquatch in their orb phase. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I could, you know, fine.
And you can't dismiss it yet. You don't know. Because
you
you've probably heard it more than once.
In mind. But it does seem, regardless of whether they're manifestations of the same phenomenon or different phenomenon, there is a very good example of how these things intersect. And I've seen it myself. I've been walking at night in areas where there's lots of Sasquatch history, and here goes this ball of light moving horizontally at treetop level, and then it goes behind a tree and not seen again. I've seen people film the things. Boy, I'm still scratching my head over it, and you know, I really want to find some sort of physical explanation. But I would say that yes, you are definitely looking at phenomena that are interrelated somehow.
You've seen it yourself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What was that like? Did you feel anything too? Describe
well, it was just
that.
Silent, horizontal, moving ball of light, like you say, about the size of a soccer ball, yet in the dark. and moving about treetop level, and then went behind a tree, and that was it. Never saw it again, but it was very clearly moving among the trees. You know, it wasn't in the sky, it wasn't air traffic or meteors or any of the things that you might want to call it, but moving amidst the trees horizontally, silently, and then it just disappears. I've seen it a couple times. I've photographed orbs, just balls of light that I could not see but show up on the film, and I know that the ET folk have a lot of descriptions and encounters with that. And then there are places like Mount St. Helens and Mount Adams and Shasta where it manifests itself even more frequently than, you know, others. And so it's like, I think it may well be some sort of energy manifestation that is related to the Sasquatch. Can't rule it out.
When you saw the ball of light, did it illuminate everything around it too, or did it stay confined?
No, it was just a little glowing ball that was moving horizontally, and it didn't seem to. It wasn't so bright that it was making shadows of anything around it. No,
just a glowing ball. That's pretty cool that you got to see that. That's pretty neat. Did it frighten you at all, or?
Well, just surprised me because, you know, it's never when you're sort of ready for it. You know, I go out most nights and I walk for miles in the dark. And so I'm out there a lot, but it's all of a sudden, there it is. And it's over so quickly. It takes quite a while to even digest what you just saw.
Yeah, I've seen some little ones myself just in my house before. Well, that was pretty
freaky.
Oh, in
your house? No way.
Yeah, that was freaky. A little tiny one. I was like, oh, my gosh.
You are being singled out.
I know. I don't know. I know. I guess I feel like I'm around amongst my people. I can tell these things too. But what about, it's been seen and it's been videotaped, and I think it's been authentic. I think it was authentic video. It looked like it to me. But crop circles always have that ball of light,
yep,
you know.
Yep, yep. And
love it.
There it is. Again, you get this overlap between the phenomenon, and I think you just have to at some point say, all right, you know, there has to be a connection.
Somebody up there is just having a ball going, oh, let's throw another weird-looking creature out there and let them, you know, think about that one for a while.
Clearly, we are the animals in the zoo, and there is a two-way mirror that we cannot see past, and they're having great fun watching us stumble around. But I think, too, that they are sort of hoping that we do get a clue, and I think sometimes what's going on is that we're being invited to become more sophisticated, that maybe there is an intergalactic community that we will someday be invited to join, but right now we're sort of in our adolescence of our sensitivity and awareness, and we're just not quite at the point where we're being invited to the party.
And I like that. And I think too that we're all walking in a maze, and some of us are looking over it and looking above the maze and checking things out, and then waving to the other people that are going, hey, I see that it's a maze too. How are you? So we've got people becoming aware, and then some of us becoming aware that we're aware. We are talking with Tom Powell about Sasquatch. And guess what? You can now talk to him too. Let's